flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I like that clip from Tom Brady. Maybe not as much as my guy Cowherd.
Cowherd liked it a lot. No, but that is cool.
Wow. Just
peek behind the curtain.
Wow. It is. What'd you think of those guys? It's Jones and Keefe, hour number two here on WEEI. We'll get to our Friday four-pack coming up a little less than a half hour from now. Stay tuned for it.
Makes me think of JoJo LaFell, Brandon LaFell,
yep,
to the layman.
Mm.
So wow. It was just, I like to use every.
One year he was great. One year he was awful. He was a weird guy to figure out.
He was. I hear that and I go, that flies in the face a little bit for people who, A, love Josh McDaniels, and B, think Bill did more than Brady. That flies in the face a little bit. When Brady on Friday is like, you know what, guys? Let's actually do this because we've had 2 weeks to game plan for it, and I don't love it.
So I spin it positive for McDaniels in particular to not be like, hey, we're all set. We've been coaching up. We're coached up.
They're flexible enough to go with it.
Yeah, and like
fair point.
Put those plays in and kind of figure it out. And so I think that's going to be really good because I'm sure early in Drake May's career, it's going to be more Josh being like, hey, this is what we should probably do. And then as it goes on, maybe Drake May is like, well, this is what I'm seeing. And then McDaniels is like, all right, let's go with that. Like I rather than just being like so headstrong about, no, this is my, like, don't worry about it. This is my offense. This is what I'm doing. I'll take that as a plus.
Yeah.
It does cut Bill out.
Remember the situation too. Yeah. The Patriots hadn't won in a decade at that point.
Oh, I know.
So you're going into Seattle and, you know, Brady's coming to the offensive coaching staff and maybe Bill as well. And he's saying, hey, I'm not comfortable with this. Let's switch it. So you're right. They deserve credit for being flexible.
And if Pete Carroll hands the ball off, they still looking for another Super Bowl.
Fair point.
Yeah.
But they deserve credit for being flexible. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But those two touchdowns, why don't you put those at the feet of Brady and not at the feet of Bill and Josh McDaniel and everybody
else? Well, I think most
else.
Of them would go to
but I'm
Brady
saying,
at
not
this
just,
point.
Not just the execution on the field, but like the idea for it. And maybe you think Brady's taking too much credit there. He's doing what Bill used to do. We practiced this on Friday, that level of thing. Maybe you think there's too much of that.
I think that's also the difference between a quarterback who was in the league for 14 years at that point versus, you know, somebody much younger.
So we're lining up these two dynasties, Patriots dynasty and Chiefs dynasty. We'll get into it here in a moment. I want to knock out some of these phone calls. Bunch of you waiting patiently, including Ray in Cumberland on our Bruins convo. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Doing great.
I don't disagree with you guys wanting to trade Marshawn. My thing is he's an elderly forward that I just don't feel like we're going to get much for. So I think there's three guys they really have to move because we're pinned against the cap. And I'm going to start with my favorite player, Pastrnak. I feel bad watching him every night, not playing with any top six players. No one can pass. No one can get him the puck. He's a waste. It's time to trade him, unfortunately, because he's one of the few guys that we can actually get something for. That's just my thoughts today. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. I would not trade Pastrnak at the deadline.
No.
But come the offseason, I'd think about making a bigger move. Like Marchand to me is the easiest Band-Aid to rip off. That's something I would do at the deadline. Pastrnak, Swayman, even McAvoy, for me, those are names I would think about looking at this offseason. I wouldn't rule out making a larger trade then. I would not do that in season at the deadline.
No, I mean, especially because you have him locked up long term. There's no really rush on that. I think there's going to be a little bit of a rebuild, retool in the offseason, no matter what they do at the deadline. Like, even if they kind of middle it, that's going to be disappointing. And then if they end up missing the playoffs, you can't just run everybody back anyway. And then maybe you get a better sense of what you could get. I'm still a no on that. And I know, you know, I was the one that said he was causing problems in the locker room and everything else, but I think I'll still take the talent. You saw what he did even after that was made public. Guy was like first star of the week or whatever. I think he scored more goals in January than almost anybody else. So I think he's still a great player. I do agree with the caller. He needs a little bit of help. As great as he is, you know, maybe throw him a real center.
The reason I would move him out of those three names we just mentioned, again, McAvoy, Pastrnak, Swayman, the reason I would move him is because he's the one you get the most for. You'd be selling really low on Swayman.
Yeah.
I think you'd be selling a little low on McAvoy, and defensemen are hard to find. So are 40-goal scorers, 50-goal scorers, 50, yeah. To your point.
Yep.
He's probably the one I would start with out of those all three. Right. Matt's in Rhode Island on the buzz down at the Senior Bowl. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Much respect, dude. You're going at it with everyone. If you said it, you meant it. Don't apologize.
Thank you.
Love it.
Yep.
Love it. So these guys aren't going to go in the first round, but they're probably soon after. Is Nick Nash, wide receiver of San Jose State. And this guy is keeping an eye on Deion Walker, University of Kentucky. He had a lot of buzz last year in the SEC. They've been just putting everybody on him. But he's interior. He can rush from the DN position. I mean, how would you like to see a 6'7", 350-pound guy drop back into coverage? He's a menace.
Okay, so he said he's out of Kentucky. Have you seen, Keith, the highlights of the edge rusher out of Marshall? The name escapes me. But
Mike Green.
Is that what
Mike
it is?
Green, yep.
Okay, so he
Mike
went
Green. And like the one-on-one drills that they were showing.
He had a rep at the Senior Bowl with Josh Connerly, who's a tackle prospect, maybe going to go in the 20s, or at least he was going to. He got just manhandled by this kid out of
Beast.
Marshall.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to be overly familiar with either of the names he just mentioned.
Well, this is usually where like the smaller school guys really pick up steam. My guy, Ali Marpet from Hobart, he was really good at the Combine and the Senior Bowl, and all of a sudden became on like everybody's radar because – you know, there's only so much I feel like guys from like the SEC or some of these power schools can really do because you've seen so many of their games. You kind of know who they are. They've gone up against similar competition, whereas they find these like small school guys and then you're like, oh, no, they belong there. Like, oh, they're really good. Like there was a D2 guy there. I think that was doing well. Then they bring a guy from Canada down.
Kyle Duggar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't all be winners, but like it is. No, it is. It's a useful weekend or week, I guess, every year for the draft prep.
So I think maybe a prospect you're talking about, there's an offensive lineman out of North Dakota State, Gray Zabel. I think he's like having a very good...
Gray Zabel.
Yeah, I think he's having a very good Senior Bowl. That's a guy moving up lists. You know, you're talking wide receivers. Tez Walker at Oregon. Tez Johnson.
Yeah.
Tez Walker was at UNC with Drake May.
He was UNC.
Tez Johnson.
I like Tez Johnson. He's Bo Nix's brother, right?
Oh, is that? So I remember that at Oregon a few years ago.
I believe it is. They adopted him when he was like 13, 14. And so he's been.
That couldn't be Franklin. You're right.
Maybe that was who that was.
Yeah. So he's very slight. I think the word would be for him.
He is. I kind of like him, though. So we talked yesterday about how don't draft a wide receiver and focus on, I mean, Travis Hunter, a little bit different story. So Travis Hunter or offensive lineman or pass rush. But I don't know. Like, you're going to have a bunch of picks. Like, maybe you take another dart throw. I think they're still better off, especially if they're going to keep a lot of their young guys. I don't think you want your whole wide receiver room 22, 23, 24. So they probably want to go out there and find somebody else. But it doesn't mean you're not going to follow all this and be like, I kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
I kind of like this one.
Tez Johnson is listed at 5'10", 165. I would take the under.
Most likely.
On height and weight.
Yeah.
Good point. Call
us Nick Nash. Is that who he said?
Oh, yeah. That was the other name you mentioned.
So he's 6'3", 195 out of San Jose State. And it looks like he would be a day three pick, maybe.
Yeah. Not going that far down the list. Mm-hmm. Text line says Tez Johnson is Taekwon 2.0. Probably not large risks on Tez Johnson. Tez Johnson.
Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson.
Matt Well?
I'm going to measure those risks when he comes in.
Yeah, he was here for picture day yesterday.
He was.
There was a big. I was manhandled when I saw him.
He did kind of shove you into a wall.
I didn't notice the wrists, but
good size.
They wouldn't put my face on his body.
Yeah, Billy asked a good question.
I was pissed.
Yeah, just Photoshop that on there.
So
fine.
We were looking at all the pictures after picture day yesterday, and Billy wanted his head photoshopped on Ted's body.
Yeah.
To which I said, we should just all do that.
We should speak
the show picture of all five of us should just be all of our heads on Ted's body.
Call back to earlier in the week. Ted should have dressed as an American Gladiator. He would have been, if they reboot American Gladiators, he could for sure be one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he'd be great.
What was
throw some red, white, and blue on
what
him?
What would his nickname be?
Ted.
Ted.
Laser. Blade. Ted. Blazer. Ted.
I was thinking instead of Nitro, like Necco, like just a giant neck on him.
If he's okay with that.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You got to run it by him.
Man's name's Ted. I'm going to call him Ted.
And it's Theodore.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah.
Mr.
Unless
Johnson.
Said otherwise.
So speaking of
ice, glacier, Mr. Johnson.
Theodore.
So speaking of the early era Patriots, their dynasty, Ted Johnson, on that team, of course, we've been talking all week about the Patriots dynasty and the Chiefs dynasty. We've been doing it at individual positions. What we both feel, Keith, are the top two at their respective spots in the history of the sport.
Yes.
Mahomes and Brady, 1-2. We would both go Brady over Mahomes. Reed and Belichick, 1-2 in the history of the sport. We'd both go Bill over Reed. For now, come talk to us after the Super Bowl if the Chiefs win again. Kelce and Gronk, top two all-time at their position. You went Gronk, I went Kelce. That was the one disagreement we've had to this point. How close is the Kansas City dynasty to the Patriots' 20-year run? Let's start with that before breaking it down. How close are they, if they win, to the Patriots dynasty?
They're still a ways away in my mind. I think
it would be 6-4.
It'd be 6-4 in Super Bowls, and it would be
even with a three-peat, it would still be 6-4.
Even with the Chief Pete.
The three Chief.
But then also Super Bowl appearances would be 10-5. All right.
Yeah,
they'd be 4-1, right? If they win. So I think it's a ways away, but I think one thing you can do, and if you were going to talk up the Chiefs in this regard, would be take the 7 years that Mahomes has been a starter for the Chiefs and take whatever seven-year chunk you want from the Patriots. So the early years, Brady made four Super Bowls in a seven-year span, won three of them, had an undefeated regular season, obviously lost. They made the playoffs 6 of those 7 years. They made the conference championship 5 of those 7 years. So there's that one. That's great. There's also another seven-year run for the Patriots later in Brady's career where they did go to the conference championship every single year. They went to the Super Bowl 5 times, and they won 3 of them. Mm-hmm. So if the Chiefs win on a week from Sunday, you would have to say they have the more impressive seven-year run. They just do, like based on that number. But when you take in the totality of it, it's not. A 20-year run where you were essentially either the best team or one of the best teams every year for 20 years. The Chiefs aren't there yet, but their pace is better, and the 7-year clip would be better.
So I like the way you. I was only thinking of comparing the one dynasty to the other, once you broke it down, the 2001 to 2004 and the 2014 to 2018. But I like even expanding it out to a 7-year window because the Chiefs' run really has been 7 years with all the AFC title
games. Yeah, so toss another Super Bowl appearance for the Pats in 2007, the record-breaking regular season. Unfortunately, it was just a regular season. But if you add all that together, it's pretty if the Chiefs lose to the Eagles, then I think they're very comparable. Then I think both 7-year windows are pretty similar for both teams. If they win, though, you can't argue with the 4-3.
So here's how I was thinking about it, and I like your way of looking at it better. And is that a fair way to say it? The Chiefs, even with another Super Bowl, and they still got to win, they still got to beat the Eagles, even to make it 6-4. If they win, the full dynasty, the full 20 years, those don't compare yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's just so many seasons.
But is it fair to say that the Chiefs had a better run within their dynasty and are pacing ahead of the Patriots? Is that a fair thing to say? 617-779-7937. Let's take the 5-year window, even with this Super Bowl out of it, because we don't know the outcome yet, Keith. Let's take the 5-year window. The Chiefs won in 2019. They lost the following year to Brady in 2020. They lost a conference championship in 2021 to Burrow, and now they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. Okay? That 5-year snapshot, is that greater than the Patriots 2001 to 2004 going 3 out of 4?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, you give them 3 Super Bowls, right? The 5 year
they had a fourth appearance.
So I think it's close.
And they made the playoffs every year. The Patriots missed the playoffs in one of those years.
They made the conference championship every year.
Yep.
the Patriots missed the playoffs in 02, and then they lost in the divisional round in 05. So I think just simple math.
So
I mean,
you're giving them even 01 over 04. You're giving them this to compare to even 01 to 04. I'm not even sure I would do that. I would definitely give the Chiefs this over the Patriots later run, where they went to
Really? Yeah, so listen, if you're taking, you're only doing a five-year sample or a seven-year sample?
And obviously, if the Chiefs win again, four out of six will trump anything the Patriots have done individually in those two runs.
All right, so it's funny you say that. So 14 through 18.
Yeah.
Right?
I would take this Chiefs run over that.
Funny. So the Pats won the Super Bowl, lost in the conference championship, won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. So it's three wins, one loss, and a conference championship. So it's almost more equal than anything else.
It is, but
I don't see how one's much better.
Because the Chiefs went back-to-back. So to me, that's a bit of a tiebreaker. The Patriots didn't go back-to-back. Okay. They went to three straight. They didn't go back-to-back. To me, the reason I would give the Patriots the edge here, they went back-to-back.
Pats have more regular season wins over that span?
Do they?
I think.
That's probably right. I didn't do the math on that. That's probably right.
Let's see. They were 12, 13
every year. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's true. And whereas, without doing the math, it's probably the same. It's probably a wash, just kind of glancing at it. Very similar. In fact, it's kind of the same. So, okay, if you want to say back-to-back's the tiebreaker, I guess I could entertain that. But it's pretty much the same, right? Three Super Bowl wins, one Super Bowl loss, one conference loss.
Right, but to me, the reason I break the tie is the back-to-back.
That's
Patriots
fine.
Did not do that in that run. I would still give the Patriots their 3 out of 4 compared to the Chiefs 3 out of 5 with the extra Super Bowl appearance. Yeah. They didn't miss the playoffs. The Patriots were so dominant in that stretch. Not to say the Chiefs aren't, but just the Chiefs last year were not a dominant team. They won the Super Bowl. They were not a dominant team. 03-04, the Patriots were running circles around the league.
How about this? Take it one step further.
01 was a luckier Super Bowl, just like the Chiefs Super Bowl felt luckier last year, or more vulnerable team.
Yeah.
Nothing they do is lucky, I guess.
No.
But they were so dominant, I would still give the Patriots that first chunk of the dynasty.
All right, so if you want to take it to this level, the Chiefs have beaten Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts, and Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The last three for the Patriots was Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff.
So that was a pretty good run of quarterbacks.
I think that's better.
Me too.
So I would say, really think, because Wilson's probably a Hall of Famer. Matt Ryan's not a Hall of Famer, but he was the MVP.
MVP.
And then Goff is the weak spot there, but he's very comparable to Purdy Garoppolo.
And it looks better now. In real time, we didn't think that one was great.
Oh, yeah, right.
That, to me, looks better now.
So not only did they beat
Garoppolo stinks.
They beat better quarterbacks. I think they beat better teams. Legion of Boom, probably the best team that anybody faced.
Yeah, those Niners. I mean, the Chiefs beat the Niners twice. Those were good Niners teams.
They were, but the Seahawks had won the Super Bowl.
Were a defending champion. Yeah, going for a repeat.
That's probably the best. Yeah. The other ones are probably kind of similar.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Sean McVay Rams team versus the Shanahan Niners.
The Seahawks team the Patriots beat is better than any individual team the Chiefs. That's fair.
Of those six, they're the best.
And then they beat the greatest show on turf in the early going.
100%. Yeah, that's better.
And it was DeLome.
Brady has more.
And McNabb.
Brady has more head-scratching losses in the playoffs than Mahomes does, but also he's done it twice as long. So let's see if Mahomes plays even 7 more years, does he only lose to Hall of Fame quarterbacks, or is somebody going to, is somebody going to get him?
Is
he going to face, trying to think who even would be a guy, like some scrubby quarterback, like a Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco type?
So it's interesting. I would go with the Patriots 01 to 04 run over what the Chiefs have done to this point. The Chiefs win in Super Bowl 59, then this run is better than either individual chunk of the Patriots dynasty, 01 to 04 or 14 to 18. But Keith and I are flipped on that.
We are flipped on that.
I would give the Chiefs the edge right now today.
Yeah.
Regardless of winning the Super Bowl or not, I would give them the edge over 14 to 18 for the Pats, not over 01 to 04. You are the other way around on that.
Pats also never got blown out in a Super Bowl. Chiefs got absolutely pantsed in a Super
Dominated.
Bowl.
Dominated.
Yeah.
That's true. So who had the better dynasty? For 20 years, it's still the Pats.
Definitely the Pats.
There's nothing the Chiefs can do about it.
But the pace is better,
and
especially with a win.
And you can't compare to a 7-year run they had with another win at any point in your dynasty. You can't do that.
No Chief Pete.
No Chief Pete.
The Pats never had a Chief Pete.
No, nary a 3 Chief.
Jeez.
Couldn't do that. That is a good point.
3 Chief. A Chief Pete.
617-779-7937. Sorry, but the competition is easier than it was to start Brady's career. Plus, you have to consider the rules hitting the quarterbacks. I don't think of the second thing. But
they beat Jake DeLome in a Super Bowl. Like, what do you mean? It was
McNabb threw up on himself. Okay, the greatest show on turf was a really good team.
This guy doesn't
the Seahawks were an unbelievable team.
This guy doesn't think Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer? Somebody's calling me out for that.
I would put him in, but I don't know that universally he's thought of as a Hall of Famer.
He's been to two Super Bowls. He won a Super Bowl.
You put everyone in your Hall of Fame, but
I'm a small hall guy.
I also would put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
Ten-time Pro Bowler, Keith.
10 times going to the Pro Bowl. Pretty good.
I wanted to bring up this text as well, that they're taking me to task for trading down in a bad draft. They're like, trading down in a bad draft, too many texts have come in, so I scrolled past it. But the idea that trading down in a bad draft is a bad move, it's one of the stupider takes I've had.
Well,
I mean, maybe.
Hold on, but what if you trade down, and what if it's also next year's first-round pick?
So this is how I look at it.
Yeah.
If you're trading down in a bad draft, maybe dropping 4 to 8,
yeah,
call it, you're not missing out on, there's not that much of a difference in the player you're getting, would be my mindset, and then you're getting a future asset in a better draft.
There you go.
And a first-round pick in a better draft. That's how I look at it. But I understand the logic of, hey, you want to be as high as possible, as close to number one as possible,
mm-hmm,
in a weak draft because there's a limited supply of good players. I get that logic. I disagree with it in this case. And I'm normally a trade-up, at least stick-and-pick guy. This year, now that you have the QB and you need everything, I'm really open to trading down for the first time in a decade plus with this team. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Who has the better dynasty? Who had the better run within their dynasty, the Patriots or the Chiefs? We'll take your thoughts on it. And coming up next, the Friday four-pack, a four-pack of questions related to the Super Bowl. That's right after Trending with Billy Lane.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fair point by the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Neither of us brought this up. You kind of were right around it.
I was all around it.
The Patriots did beat Mahomes in this run.
Yeah.
If you want
advantage
to
path,
cement their later portion of the dynasty, I'd give them that. I'd still say the back-to-back repeat outweighs that for me. The Patriots did not do that in the second chunk of the dynasty. Well, you continue to compare and contrast if you'd like. 617-779-7937. If nothing else, though, it's fair to bring up. Text line also, you're right, is outraged about you saying Russell Wilson is a Hall of Famer.
Weird. But he's really good.
People say he never did anything without Pete Carroll.
He kind of stinks now, is that what they're saying?
That is a legit text, yeah.
Made the playoffs with the Steelers this year, didn't he? Or did they miss
correct
it? Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They made it. They were in there.
Yeah, I mean, they tried
just the Fields' win to make it.
They tried their hardest to miss the playoffs at the end. They lost like 6 in a row or something like that, but they made
it. He actually was pretty good with Denver last year. They just didn't like his contract.
Yeah, you say Pete Carroll did nothing without him.
You could say that.
Right?
He sunk the Patriots in the 90s.
Yeah, he got fired after 1 year with the Jets.
Yeah.
Stunk in Seattle before he got him. I mean, that's probably the better way to say it.
Yep. How's he going to do with the Raiders?
You're on the clock in Vegas, Pete.
Unless he gets Russell Wilson. There you go.
The play. Now we're cooking.
Yeah.
What do we have in the four-pack here today, Billy?
All right, first one. If you could have one Chiefs or Eagles jersey, past or present, who would it be?
So I have one.
You own one?
I own one.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It probably doesn't fit because I had it as a kid, but I should try it on.
Did it make class photo?
No, but a Halloween costume 1 year. It was. I wore it in
the OG Raleigh Fingers.
The Halloween parade. No, it's not Raleigh Fingers. You never played for the Eagles or the Chiefs.
No, the OG. Never mind.
Randall Cunningham.
I thought about Randall Cunningham.
I loved Randall Cunningham as a kid. He was fun to watch. I had the jersey, the whole nine. So I would say that would be my answer. I actually have it, but that would be my answer.
Okay. I'm also going with an Eagle, believe it or not.
I have a Chief too, just in case. I could back pocket a Chief for you.
Well, who is it?
Derek Thomas.
Oh, that's a great one.
I usually don't go like linebacker or DN or anything, but like Derek Thomas was incredible.
Yeah. That is, what do you have, like 5 sacks in a game at one point in time?
I think so. He was a menace.
Yeah. I like that. I would, if we're going to name a Chief, I wasn't really thinking about this. How about a Priest Holmes jersey?
Good one.
Priest Holmes, nice player.
Priest Holmes won a lot of people, a lot of fantasy leagues.
This is true. Oh, actually, you want to speak of winning
Charles?
I got to a championship with Jamal Charles. Didn't win it. It was a massive underachievement.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a gag job. I lost that championship with Jamal Charles. No, the jersey I would like, I love Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook
really?
Was, yeah, yeah. Little actually, scat
that's
back.
One. That's the first one I said to Billy, Brian Westbrook.
Brian Westbrook. Westbrook, awesome. Throw it to him. He could run it. I love Brian Westbrook. Small school guy. You should like
Villanova.
That. One-double A guy.
Yep.
I like Brian Westbrook a lot, so put me down for him.
All right, that's a good one.
Okay, who's your least favorite player to ever play for the Eagles or Chiefs?
This should be easy, Patriots fans. Bernard Pollard.
Oh, yeah.
Bernard Pollard. Started his career in KC. He wasn't, taking out Brady's knees then. But, yeah, I think that should be.
It's a weird one for me because I would actually take him on the team, but probably Tyreek Hill. Like, I would take him on the Pats,
but, saying.
What a piece of crap.
He's such an unlikable individual.
Yeah.
I take him on my team.
He's fast.
But he's a very hateable individual. Yeah, that's true. I guess I was thinking on the field, who did I hate? Yeah.
I don't hate Mahomes or Kelsey. I think they're becoming more and more unlikable, but that happens when you win more and more. And I've always thought Kelsey with a microphone was like a real eye roll. But no, Tyreek Hill. Trying to think with the Eagles.
Pollard was with Kansas City when he took out Brady.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. That was the
2017. My bad. I thought he had already moved on.
I think he finished in Baltimore.
No. He played a bunch of different places. He took out Stephen Ridley in a game. So
he was still
in Kansas City when he did.
You heard everybody?
Yeah. Bernard Paul. I couldn't remember where he was when that. I thought he was somewhere else. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Elvis Gerback. I hate that Elvis Gerback.
Joe Montana, Kansas City would be a good jersey.
Yeah, not bad. The 19, right?
Yeah,
19. He's on the cover of NFL Football 94. It was like not Madden. It was like the other game with Madden.
I think he was the original Sports Talk cover when he was with the Chiefs at Sega Genesis.
Got it. Was that the game where you like couldn't complete passes? You could run like crazy, but it was like impossible to throw. I feel like it was that game.
It's like when Madden put in the passing cone. I was out. I was like, I can't throw.
Shove the passing cone.
What else do we have, Billy?
Who would be the best choice for a Super Bowl halftime show?
Probably Green Day with Godzilla.
Oh, that would be great.
Don't you think?
Godzilla cameo?
Yeah. Do you got some?
It can't be a dome. It's gonna be an outdoor stadium.
He's gonna destroy it either way.
Well, true.
The game's gonna be decided at halftime.
Yeah.
So this is for now, right? This isn't like all time, anybody. This is for right now.
It's so easy.
Who do you got?
Swift.
Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Snooze.
Put Taylor Swift out there for the halftime show. Asses in the seats.
You think?
Plus you got the Chiefs aspect to it. You can have her propose to Kelsey right in the middle of it.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Easy. Piece of cake. And that is nothing.
I would have said Tenacious D, but then Jack Black turned on Kyle Gass.
What?
Yeah, Kyle Gass said something, I think anti-Trump maybe, and then Jack Black was like, we're breaking up for now or whatever. And you're like, dude, is it your buddy or not?
Wait, I don't know.
He was just trying to protect all of his Hollywood stuff.
Oh.
I think.
Oh.
Yeah, so they kind of were like bickering.
I didn't realize there was a fallout.
Yeah, there was. Oh, big time.
Man.
Yeah, big time there
First
was.
First the Beatles, now this.
Now it's the D?
The D is out.
I think like Rammstein would put on a hell of a show. Those guys go real hard, a lot of pyrotechnics. You don't think Rammstein would be good?
No, they would go hard. I agree. That did not occur to me for a halftime show.
Even AC/DC.
Yeah.
What's left?
Exactly. Yeah.
They were at Gillette a few years back, and they're loud. Like, they are still really, really loud. Best concert I ever saw was Rob Zombie. I think he could do a good halftime show.
Mm.
Here comes April's own Rob Zombie.
So none of us are saying, like, Lil Wayne or anything New Orleans related for this Super Bowl.
Oh.
Like, is there an element of that?
Oh.
Jazz band?
Oh, yeah, because that'd be sick.
Harry Connick.
Yeah. New Orleans native son, Harry Connick Jr. I was like, what the hell? There's like nobody on the stage, just him. That'd be amazing. Billy, you got one that would be good for now?
I'd always wanted to see Metallica play a halftime show.
Have they never?
No, they haven't.
So that really would be a good one.
That probably would be good.
Especially seeing like this past summer when we were at Gillette for training camp, the setup they had was pretty wild.
Are they kind of safe olds now?
Definitely safe olds.
Yeah, they're kind of safe olds. If we had to tear them off,
the people bobbing their heads a little bit for them.
They're kind of safe olds.
They'd be going.
You don't think Taylor Swift would be a massive halftime show?
It would obviously be a massive halftime show. It's actually probably beneath her. She doesn't even need
to do that. I do agree with that. That's why I believe they're really for the people who still don't think they're dating. That's why I think they're really dating. She doesn't need any of this.
Doesn't need any of it.
No.
What's helping her?
I hope she proposes to Kelsey at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Jake Travis, can you come out here?
She gets down on one knee.
Kind of busy.
That's the way.
Can you come out here?
Yeah.
They're losing like 30-0. He's like, yeah, sure, I do. No, but I don't know. There's no act that you can have that'll make everybody happy. That's impossible. I was kind of like, okay, Because wasn't Kendrick Lamar a part of the Dre Snoop one?
Yeah, but Eminem. I was unaware of this or had forgotten it or whatever. But Beyonce was part of a couple of different ones too.
She was Coldplay.
Yeah, that's what it was. And she also did another one where it was her and Destiny's
Child. Bruno Mars might have had two runs.
Yeah.
Two separate runs.
It's not unprecedented. Okay. But I agree. Like, you got your shot at a halftime show. Usher wasn't too. That's true.
Yeah.
So, again, maybe that's even more common than we even realize. But you should get your one shot. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done, son.
You're done,
as
son.
A wise man once said. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I agree.
What's left, Bill?
Last one. Is 6:30 the best time for the Super Bowl to kick off? If not, when?
I think
is that what it is? It's 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30 kickoff. They do the pregame starting at like 6 a.m.
Too late.
6:30 is too late for
you. Yeah.
What time do you want it to start?
3.
3?
Yeah. I know the West Coast gets screwed and it'll kill their ratings, but like
high noon.
What time?
I don't care about that. I'm talking about for you. Like, yeah.
What time do I want to start a game?
3 o'clock.
3. It ends at 6:30 or 7. I can watch some of the post game and then go to bed. Yeah.
So
right smack in the middle of the day would be great for me. I understand why they don't do it. I'm not saying it's stupid for the rating to do it there.
I think 6:30 is actually great if you have older kids or no kids. When you have little kids, like you and I have, 6:30 is weird. Like, the kids are both up, but then they're not going to be up for the whole game.
Yeah,
at least in my house,
they're not going to be. You can't put them to bed at 6 or 6:30.
No, it's way too early.
So then what? I'm putting them to bed at halftime.
I don't even know if that's going to be the case. Because what time's halftime? 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Not if Taylor Swift's playing.
That's a good point. You can't put the kids down to Taylor's plan.
No, that's true.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
What? Taylor Swift?
So what's your time?
So I'll take 6:30 because I'm being selfish right now because I have young kids. But I think once they get out of this phase and they can stay up later, I like 6:30 because you still have all day and the game's actually over.
You bring up a good point with kids. 3 sounds ideal, but like, right, what am I going to do? Get Lucas out of my hair for 4 hours?
No,
that's not going to happen.
No chance. That's true. I think I'll actually take 6:30. It's going to be a little chaotic in like the first quarter. But then I'll take it. And then the game's still over at 9:30.
Yeah.
So we're so used to like Monday night, Sunday night football. Game's over at like 11:30. You still feel like you're out kind of early.
That has been nice the last couple of Sundays.
And then I can watch the Equalizer or whatever comes on after.
Championship weekend, that has been nice. Like when they had like the three and the 6:30 for those two games.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
I think they
right?
did that in the divisional round on Sunday too. They had the 8 o'clock on Saturday. That has been nicer. It's still too late.
So you say 3, you're still sticking with 3 o'clock?
Well, now that you brought up the kid aspect, I hadn't really thought about that.
So Kathleen
solved that. I don't know. But yeah, but 3, that would be an ideal time for me.
So one of the youngs, Nick, what's your ideal time?
I like 6:30, selfishly because I have to be up for here, so I have time to go through everything.
Good point.
And know what I need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, it's 6:30.
6:30 is not bad. Bill?
I'm extremely selfish. I want 105 on CBS.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
With Spiro. Just keep it consistent, please.
Spiro
I like a 1 o'clock kickoff on
it's
Sundays.
Like, Spiro Dinas and Arch are doing the game. Why are they doing this? I don't know. I watch them every week. They're 1 o'clock on CBS.
Pretty much
9:30
locked in
London.
It's just one of those things where the game ends and you're like, ugh, I got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not your regular game.
What, you hate going to work, Bill?
No, I love work.
What are you saying, Bill?
No, I mean, I love going to work. And it's like, I get it. There's like Sunday night games and Monday night games, but it's just something about the Super Bowl where you're around other people. You need some time to wind down. You need some wind down.
I'm always like, I'm really full.
You said it better, Billy, but that's exactly how I feel. I need a little wind down time after the Super Bowl.
9:30 does feel like 11:30 when the game ends.
Yeah.
And the wind down time didn't exist when the Pats were in it and winning.
Right.
Because you had to stick up. You had to hear what all the talking heads were saying. You had to watch all the highlight packages.
Yeah. Yep. You're feeling a little tipsy after the Super Bowl. Is that what you're saying?
No, because you're so full. You're not drunk, but you're kind of like half drunk.
You're not drunk enough.
You kind of brown out, as they say in Always Sunny. No, because like you're just eating your stuff in your face the whole time.
Yeah.
And you're like, it is like a weird feeling. Around like 9:30, like, now what do I do?
What do you stuff your face with at the Super Bowl? Save that. Put a pin in that. I think that's a bit of a preview for the tears next
long
week.
Distance teaser.
Yeah, we'll be getting to that. Start thinking about it out there, Boston. Jerome is in Scituate. Hello, Jerome.
Hey, how are you guys? Listen. I got one thing. I want to make a quick point before I get to my football point.
Oh.
Rich Keefe, the truth will set you free.
Thank you.
If you can, when I get off the air, you please tell Mr. Jones about the truth about the popcorn stand in Grosstown.
Oh.
About you used to take a date there.
What
okay?
are you talking about, Jerome?
Are you going to tell me there's no popcorn stand in Grosstown?
No, I'm not saying that there isn't a popcorn stand in Goffstown. I have no recollection of taking a date there.
Hang on. Now I need to ask a follow-up. So what?
Did he just put us on hold?
You on hold?
Jerome!
What's going on?
Did you name his daughter?
I don't think so.
Jerome?
Jerome, what are you talking? Yeah. Why'd you put us on hold?
What's going on
and
here?
What are you talking
What was happening
about?
With the popcorn and Keith at the movie theater in Gustav?
Classic popcorn trick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, butter's on the bottom.
Wiggy was calling me. But listen, no, you never took a girl to the prom at the popcorn stand.
I didn't go to the Goffstown prom. I was at St. Paul's at that point. I didn't go to the prom at Goffstown.
I know all about St. Paul's and Hobart. Wiggy told me all about it.
What? What's going on here?
Jerome.
Which story?
Listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
The only ones to play to the high level on this station are myself, Rich Keith, and Wiggy. Am I correct?
Well, Andy Hart played college football.
Yep. Where should I know?
Not at any like Hobart or
no.
Or
well, God,
Braintree
no.
Flag football.
No, not like Hobart or Braintree Flag football. That's where Jerome played.
Oh, he played Braintree Flag football.
Two-time MVP.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Jerome, I was unfamiliar with the resume. My apologies.
No, I don't know what you're talking about with the Goffstown stuff, but that's fine.
Well, the popcorn. I'll write you a letter and I'll explain it to you.
Please. Yeah. But, you can address that
pen to paper, please.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, here's my point.
Please.
They were handcuffing Drake May. You're going to think I'm crazy, but remember when Brady would do the quarterback sneak and he'd get through and he'd be bumping heads with Matt Light or one of the linemen? Why the hell couldn't they do that with Drake May last year? Drake May's probably a better runner than Brady ever thought about being.
Okay. I don't know.
It's the second time he's brought up that popcorn.
Literally
going to
say the same thing.
Like,
what just happened? His point was about Drake May running. That's where that landed.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, that's good.
That's my guy.
So he's a two-time Braintree.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you MVP. Something. I played at a high level myself. Two mm-hmm. MVPs.
Nice. You know what? That call was. According to my my little folder here, 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. Good. Well,
Braintree Flag Football League.
We're gonna await Jerome's strongly worded letter with the accusation.
I mean,
you're being wrongfully accused left and right. Well, actually, I don't even know the details of this story, so I shouldn't say wrong. Actually, I need to sit this one out.
True. Now you have representation. You need to be careful.
Yeah. I got to talk to my guy, Alan
double
Jackson.
Double up on. Can you get a good deal on that lawyer?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about with that.
Well.
You're going to tell me there's not a popcorn stand in Goffstown? I'm like, I'm not saying there isn't a popcorn stand. I don't know what he's referring to.
Well,
shout out to everybody, though, in the great town of Goffstown.
We'll wait for the letter.
Yeah.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Did Cam Newton really say he'd take an MVP over a Super Bowl? Our guy Cam? let's get to that next.
Quite an answer from Cam Newton yesterday.
It is.
Would you trade your MVP for a Super Bowl?
So
no, I would not. He says.
He's like, what do you say? What's more important, impact or championships?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't championships also be impact?
You would think.
And so I'm also not one to like completely dismiss the importance of individual awards. Mm-hmm. And like, team. Like, yeah, that obviously very important. Because people would bring up, like, would you rather be Charles Barkley or friend of the show, Robert Horry?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Horry's got like championship rings falling out of his pockets, but not a Hall of Famer. Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer, MVP. Never won the title. If you're talking about that, I'd rather be Barkley. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be one of the 50 greatest players ever without a title than one of however many hundreds, thousands of players that have a title.
So Cam went on to make the point, and again, you can disagree with it if you want. Cam went on to make the point, you know, Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl. And basically he's like, would I trade? I think the way he's looking at the argument.
There's less MVPs than Super Bowl champions.
Well, that's true too. But he's also looking at it as, well, would I have to be a different, like, could I just be like some scrub winning a Super Bowl? Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, guys like this. Nick Foles, he brought up.
These guys.
If he jumped on that fumble, he could have had both.
This is also true.
These guys are just taking strays.
But, so would you rather be Trent Dilfer or Cam Newton? I would rather be Cam.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, so but I if mean, it's when, like, when you frame like, it that way, yeah. I get the point he's making.
But I don't think it was asked that way.
No.
Right. So basically, if he had the same career, and let's say that season was a 2015,
yeah.
Let's say he was the runner-up for the MVP.
But you win the Super Bowl. That's also how I took it.
So
the question
if
being
that's
asked,
the question, I feel like the answer should be the Super Bowl. But if it's, you have Trent Dilfer's entire career, like, no, give me my career. I'll take my career without the championship. But if it's just an easy switch and all your stats are the same, everything's the same except you lost the vote that year. You know, it's like if you know, Josh Allen, let's say he never wins an MVP. He always comes up just short to Lamar or Mahomes, but he wins a title. I think he would take that versus the inverse.
100%. And so the only interesting thing to me that comes out of this, and you guys can jump in on it, 617-779-7937. We're comparing legacies and dynasties and championships and all these things we've been talking about for the last, well, few weeks now, and we'll continue to talk about with the Patriots and the Chiefs. Do we put too much of an emphasis on winning? Like we should put a large, heavy emphasis on the titles. But I've been saying all week, and I would say it with LeBron and Jordan, I would say it with the Patriots and the Chiefs, I don't think Mahomes has to get to 7 to be considered greater than Brady. He's got to get more than 4. But I don't think he has to get to 7. I don't think Reed has to catch Bill. I don't think the Chiefs have to catch the Patriots necessarily in terms of 6 Super Bowls. I don't think you have to do that. It's not just purely about the rings. And if that's what Cam's getting at, fine. But I need to be in the club. Like you, I need Cam Newton. If you really want to be considered an all-time great, you need to have won. And I still feel that way. Maybe at times in these debates, I've been guilty of, and we put too much of an emphasis on the hardware, the championship, the trophy. Maybe that's true, but you can't be Barkley. You can't be a guy who never won.
Yeah, I think for quarterback and for best player in the NBA, that's kind of it. I mean, maybe hockey. I don't know. Like, if you have a really long career,
right? Like Connor McDavid
to win one.
Never wins a cup.
Yeah, that's tough.
That gets held against him.
You only need one really in hockey, right?
That's like Ovechkin. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need you in the club.
Like baseball, I don't use it. I don't even look at it at all. So like, you can run into it. Like Mike Trout.
Well,
like,
that's a great example. Like Mike Trout, you're a Hall of Famer. You're one of the all-time greats, even though you never won. I'm going to hold that against you on some level. I'll never consider you the greatest of all time.
I don't think you can have the impact that the other sports can.
But you need to be overwhelmingly great in baseball for me to be like, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer without the title. If you're just so great, you know, and you never won, I don't really want you in my Hall of Fame.
But so you wouldn't have Mike Trout in the Hall of Fame?
No. I'm saying you need to be that kind of player. You need to be.
But I think in
overwhelmingly, like statistically, one of the greatest players of all time. Where I go, okay, you didn't win, but clearly you were just a monster.
I do think we overall put more emphasis on it than maybe we should when it comes to football. So, for example, like there'll be people that might not even include like Dan Marino in like a top 10 list. Like, I never won a title. It's like, well, he's better than a lot of guys who did win titles.
But neither was him in the top 5.
No, but I think that speaks to me, you know, Brady and Mahomes and like you're running out of space. Like a guy like Mahomes has leapfrogged a bunch of them.
Right, because if I'm not mistaken, we both have Elway 5. Ahead of Marino.
I
mean, that's
and
where
Peyton
I
Manning
that's
reluctantly where I have for, and then Elway.
Yeah, I think we have the same order. I think we go Brady,
Mahomes,
Montana, Manning, and I would go Elway 5.
I think I did have Elway 5.
Even over Marino, but Marino's
Sonny Jurgensen.
Marino's securely in the top 10.
Yeah.
To me.
No, but I also,
even though he never won, you have to put him somewhere high up there, but he's behind all those other guys who won multiple championships.
But I also think the way we have watched the Patriots over the last 20 years, it's that or nothing. And so if Josh Allen makes it to the conference championship game and loses, we're like, ah, that was a bad year. It's like, that was a pretty good year. They just didn't, you know, they lost to Mahomes. So I think sometimes it's not even hyping up the win as much as it's like ripping a non-title.
Right.
Like, oh, you didn't win a title that year? Like, you must have an awful year. It's like, I had a pretty good year.
So that's worth filing away. Because when Cam frames it that way, yeah, what do I want? My career or Brad Johnson's career? My career or Trent Dilfer's career? Well, I agree with him on that.
But
I
took like a one-off season?
Like, I took it the same way
title.
You did.
Yeah.
Would you swap your MVP in 2015 or whatever year it was when they went 15-1 and lost to the Broncos?
Yeah.
Would I rather that MVP or the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
you'd change the stakes.
Bowl.
So do we put too much of an emphasis on that in these legacy debates? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We can get back into the Bruins as well. Time to blow them up. Time to make a move. I think most of us agree on that. We'll get back to it next.